Lord Jesus, as we come into your presence, we just ask that once again our hearts will be touched, filled, tilled. Change us into the people that you want us to be. Change us into better and more complete followers of you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today's message, I was going to try to go through about 5 chapters. I really had good intentions, and then I got stalled again with just a few verses. There is so much. I mean, we can read through Exodus, and sometimes you're reading through Scripture, and it's like, okay, yeah, they're telling you how to make little gold rings, and they're going to put some stuff on a pole, and you're building things, and then it gets repeated again a few chapters later, and you kind of wonder, okay, what is this all about? And we're going to get to that eventually, and hopefully, you know, with the Word of God still touching our hearts. But as I started looking through this first few verses of chapter 25, I was struck by the fact that you know, here's God talking to Moses again, and he's saying, I want you to take an offering. And some of the stuff he asked for, it's like, you know, these people they're nomads in the wilderness. And it's like, oh, do you have some lumber? They did. They're wandering around out in the wilderness with their stuff. And I think about all the stuff that we have. How many of us are kind of are if you've been in the same location for very long, you collect things, right? And what good is that stuff for us if we don't have the presence of God? And God's presence was with them as they're going through the wilderness too. And as the presence of God is leading them and directing them, God commands Moses to tell the children of Israel, I want them to bring an offering to me, and they're going to set up this sanctuary, this tent. It's going to be a temporary tent. Now, they're probably only a couple months away from going into the Promised Land if they just took a direct route. This tabernacle that gets built actually has to serve them for about 400 or 500 years, depending on how you estimate the time. They didn't have a temple until Solomon. So you have all the years of the judges and King David before that, but then all the wandering in the wilderness as well. And there's all of this time elapses that this sanctuary that they're being asked to build is going to be there for them. And it's a temporary structure that lasts 400 or 500 years. Okay, God gave the direction on how to build it. He told Moses all the different things that were needed. And this first part is just a matter of, you know, here's what we're going to need. Tell the people to like, get rid of some of their stuff. Now, it's still going to be traveling with them, but it's going to be traveling with them in a different way. Rather than each family carrying around their own stuff, it's going to be that the Levites, the priests, are going to be having to do a lot of the lifting and carrying of this structure after it's built. Okay, I have to take it down and carry it and then put it back up. And we're talking about a pretty remarkable feat that anything could last that long, first of all. But I realize it's not like here where everything would mildew and mold, okay? It's a drier climate, I get that. But still, pretty hard to really see that. Let's just look at the first two verses of Exodus 25. It's on page 121 in the Pew Bible, if you're following along there. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give." And that kind of hit me there and reminded me of the verse that was always in the bulletin in the past, you know, that God doesn't come at us and say, "You have to give me something." It's not like a big bully trying to tell you, "I want your stuff." He's saying, whatever your heart prompts you to give, he wants us to give from the heart. And it's always, you know, just a matter of, okay, Lord, I really appreciate your presence so much, I'm willing to give you presents. I'm willing to give you anything. I mean, because I wouldn't have it if it hadn't have been for you in the first place. If we go to Exodus 35, so we're jumping ahead a ways here. "From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze." This is just being repeated kind of from chapter 25. an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen. It's like all of these crafters, they're walking around, they've got bags full of yarn, and they haven't made anything with it yet. And God says, I could use that. Goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather. They're not sure what that was, whether it was sea cows or something else, but some type of durable leather. It really was durable, lasted 400 or 500 years. Acacia wood. How many of you, when you're out traveling and camping, you bring acacia wood with you? You know, they had it. Olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. Then a little bit later in Exodus 35, everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold, jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. It's like, here, Lord, this is for you. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ram skins dyed red, or other durable leather brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord, and everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. It's like, they had a lot of stuff. Where did they get all that stuff? I mean, it's kind of, they plundered Egypt as they were leaving. And not in a bad way. The Egyptians were giving them things. Here, take this. It's for your years of service. Okay? In Exodus 36, Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp. So Karen went, when there's too much in the treasury and we don't have anywhere else to put it, you need to let all the elders know to put this order out there and just stop giving, okay? Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. Don't you love the heart that, you know, first of all, God's provided them all this stuff. Now they're wandering around with it. And he says, okay, release it. Okay. 2 Corinthians 9:6-11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. It's like, you know, God isn't saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. He's saying, I'd like to bless you. I want to release you from some things. How many of us, once we've done something for somebody else, we feel a release of, hey, that was nice. That felt great. If we're able to bless somebody else, if we're able to meet a need somewhere, it's like, yeah, this is good. This is part of what I'm designed to do. This is who God has made me, and he's provided me with the stuff to share with others. So it's always a fun thing to be able to share. Continuing on there, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, who would that be? God. Will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Part of why God gives us stuff is so that we can share it with others. And if you're good at sharing, guess what? He'll give you more to share. And it just kind of works that way. Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is it that we treasure? I've heard it said that everybody gives generously and freely to their God. So, for example, if your God is a house or a sports car or your clothing, you're going to do everything you can to provide for that you value so much, for those things that you worship. If we worship something, we'll automatically want to give to it. And so when we're freely giving to God, if we're storing up treasures in heaven, it's because that's where our heart is. If our heart's stuck somewhere else, that's where all of our resources are going to go. Our time, our money, our efforts, our abilities, our strengths, they go to things that may not matter. And yet finding out, okay, how can we take what God's blessed us with and invest it into the kingdom? That's something between you and God. And then as your heart is directed, then freely give, generously give. Exodus 25 again, we're back to the passage on page 121. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Sounds an awful lot like what I'd read you from chapter 35 of Exodus, doesn't it? It's interesting that there's really a long section here in Exodus that Moses is being given instruction on what to do. First of all, how to gather the offering, and then how to build the tabernacle, how to build all of the different pieces of furnishings for the tabernacle. Probably as God's given him these, I'm guessing, you know, God's pretty cool about this. He probably had blueprints on those stone tablets that he was handing him. I'm thinking that he probably put pictures. It's like, you know, most of us need pictures if we're going to build something, right? Not just verbal instruction. It's like, you know, this was something that was set up and prepared. And why is so much time spent here? It's like, okay, you can get the whole Genesis creation story as a chapter or two, but there's 50 chapters about the tabernacle, about the furnishings in the tabernacle. It's throughout Scripture that this is a pretty important thing. And as we look at that, why is that? It's like, okay, I don't want to just rush through it and brush over it. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's nice. They built the structure. Let's move on. But there was a reason that so much of Scripture is devoted to this. And it keeps finding different ways as we look at it to point to Jesus. All of these pieces of things that were given were in order to build the thing that God was showing Moses needed to be built. But that thing that was built is just a shadow of what's up in heaven. As we go to verse 8 of chapter 25, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. And just that is remarkable that God, I mean, he's been leading them as the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. He's been leading them through the wilderness so far. But he's like, I want to dwell among them. And if they build this sanctuary, they can take this stuff that's burdening them and weighing them down. They can release that, and then this can be built. Now, these other two guys, Bezalel and Aholiab, Holy Spirit rested on them and gave them the ability, the talent, to follow the instructions that were given to Moses here for building this sanctuary, for building all of the different pieces of furnishings for it. God was in this the whole time and instructing, and then not only instructing like he does with us, he empowers. And he gave them the ability to do what he'd asked them to do. God's not going to ask us to do something that we can't do. But the whole purpose of doing all of this, of putting all this together, of spending the time to think about, okay, we're going to build this big tent, this tent of meeting, And it's a sanctuary for God to dwell in among you. And then as the Israelite camp was set up, every time that they'd pick everything up and move and go somewhere else and stop again, they'd set it up. All of their tents faced towards the tabernacle so that they could see the presence of God, so that they could be aware of and centered on the presence of God, knowing that this is the maker of the universe, the God that took them out of slavery, out of Egypt, and he's like, I want to be with you. I want to be among you. And there's nothing that we have that we should want to hang on to more than the presence of God. Exodus 29, then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And that's stated so many times through Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Then Exodus 25:9, make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. God had something in mind. It wasn't just kind of a random thing. Hey, I've got this idea. Let's have a fun structure. It's like, no, it's follow the pattern exactly. And as we get later on into the other chapters in Exodus, it's like, and Moses and all of the artisans followed the plan and the pattern exactly as God had said. Hebrews 8:5, they serve at a sanctuary. He's talking about the different priests on earth here. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So the presence for a presence, that can be taken a lot of different ways. It's like, okay, we won't have the presence of God if we don't give him presence. That's like we're trying to buy him. Well, that's not what this is saying at all. It's like because of, in response to God wanting to be present with us and demonstrating his love to us, we just respond, I love you too, Lord. And with whatever he asks, it's like, yeah, we can do that. That's not burdensome. That's not a heavy load. That's something that's easy to do. Exodus 25, verses 2 and verse 8, you know, 3 through 7 was kind of just the list of stuff that they were to give, but tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. It's like, okay, where is your heart? Are you ready to give it to God? Then do that. And then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. He doesn't say have them make a sanctuary so that I can dwell among them. He's already promised he's going to dwell among them. This is something that he's done already. He's demonstrated his dwelling among them. And he's saying, yeah, this is what's going to happen. I want to dwell among you. I'm going to do it. Build the sanctuary. Bring the stuff. Give me the presence so that you can have my presence, or give me the presence in response to my presence. And just, I'm there for you. Thank you, Lord, that you do care enough that you want to be here with us. We're so grateful, God, that we can be in the presence of the Lord, and that you're not trying to hide from us. You're not doing anything to sneak around and make us jump through hoops. You're just here because you love us and you care, and we're so grateful, God. Help us not to do anything that's going to create walls between us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.